Deuteronomy chapter 6. Take your finger and look over at Exodus 20 again, if you would. Let's remind ourselves of these important verses. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 3. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Isn't it amazing, the language of the scripture? Here it is. Don't worship anything that exists that's not God. Then number 2, don't make up anything either. You understand? There's some people who go past verse 1 and think, oh, I'm good to go. I'm not bowing down to anything that was there. No, you made up something. All right? And that's how we are. If there's not a God out there that fits our preference, we'll make up one. Make no graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. God covers all the plains, doesn't he? Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. The jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation, them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, keep my commandments. You've held your place in Deuteronomy 6, have you? For sake of time, we understand verses 10 and 11. Is God looking forward to all the good stuff in Canaan that was not the result of them, but the result of him? He said, when you get to enjoying it, remember where you got it from. Don't forget the Lord. Fear him. 13, serve him. Swear by his name. 14. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Now, Father, bless the preaching of the word of God. Use me to preach it as you said it. And help us to heed it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I have endeavored to convince you over the last couple of weeks that you don't have to be lost to worship idols. Well, by the sound of that, I haven't done a good job. Let me try that again. You don't have to be a heathen to worship idols. The passages of scripture that we read tonight, they weren't written to heathen. Now, heathen may read them, but the direct recipients of Deuteronomy were the people of God. Matter of fact, not only were the people of God the direct recipients of the law, they were also the violators of the law. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, they knew better. The law was given to them so that while they enjoyed the goodness of God, they did not violate the law of God. And so he gave them in Exodus 20. Moses is up in Mount Sinai receiving the law of God. By the way, the law does no good to the heart that it lands on that has not first been redeemed. All right, did you get that? In other words, receiving the law without a redeemed, regenerated heart is pointless, is futile. That's why so many lost people trying to do right and they can't do right. New Year's resolution. They can't keep them. Addiction program. They can't get off of it. 12 step. They might as well try the 13th. It just doesn't work. Why? Because the law has no penetration. As a matter of fact, not only does the law have no penetration, but the heart has no potential unless it's first been redeemed. And that's why the Jews got Exodus 20 after God got them out of the land of Egypt. Here's what he's saying. The greatest motivation for the child of God to keep my law ought to be the God that has redeemed him. No question about it. And on the heels of their redemption, he's giving them the law. And he gets not long into the law, very first statement. And he says, have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. We think about this and we're picturing some heathen in some foreign land, some jungle, some statue, some shrine, some high place, some jewel, some doll, some figure, some stone, some graven image. And we're saying, shame, shame, shame. All the idolaters of the world, I'll never be an idol worshiper. But I remind you tonight that God was writing this to the Jews. And these Jews, who by the time they would be in Canaan, please understand, all of the repertoire of God's blessings they would have under their belt at that time. Do you realize that by the time their feet first touched Canaan, they could look back and see God deliver them. They could remember all 10 of the plagues. They could remember when it was dark in Egypt, but it was light in the portion of land they inhabited. They could remember why they were being pursued by Pharaoh, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They could well remember the parting of the Red Sea, the man in the wilderness in the morning, the quail at night, the shoes that never wore dry, the water from the rock, the bitter water sweet, the deliverance Almighty God. As a matter of fact, the moment they entered Canaan, as vivid in their minds and clear as could be, would be the crossing of the Jordan River. All of these, any one of these alone was a miracle. But the Jews had all of this. And God said, don't put other gods before me. Don't let somebody else, as we've studied worship, to fall prostrate before God, to make obeisance before God. We saw worship depicted in the Greek as to be so in so much adoration, like a dog licking the hand of his master. That's what it literally means. And that ought to be how we feel about God. It ought to be that we just fought. We're so happy to see him. We're like a dog running to his master. Amen. That's what worship ought to be. I wonder if you came to church that way tonight. Well, Pastor, you don't know about my day. That doesn't matter. Your day should all be fine once you see God high and lifted up. You come into his presence. I mean, your dog's day might not have been good, but when the master comes home, forget about all of that. The man just walked in the house, and it ought to be when we walk in the house of God, and we see God high and lifted up. And obviously, the presence of God is not limited to a physical structure. We don't have to come to church to see God, but when we do come to church to see God, there ought to be a manifestation and a revelation of the presence of God. And by the way, the dynamic of church ought to be stronger than that of your individual worship. Why? Because we're two or three again. In my name, there I am in the midst of them. And just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego witnessed Jesus come in the midst. Why? They were two or three gathered together. And thank God that if we gather in his name, he'll show up. Hallelujah. And yet, we have other gods. We saw this story last couple of weeks, and we began by looking at God's directions in the land. It was very key for us to understand that to avoid idolatry, to avoid worshiping of images that are not God, we must first acknowledge God's directions in the land. And I've repeatedly tried to convince you over and over and over and over and over and over again, just because God has given you a free land doesn't mean you don't have rules. And by the way, one of the most vivid, pervasive, prevalent breeders of idolatry in the lives of Christians is the mindset that says, now that I'm saved for good, I can do what I want to do. Why do you think he spent these verses talking about not forgetting, talking about his favor, talking about fear, talking about faithfulness, talking about focus? We'll not preach all these again. But why do you think he spent time talking about houses with good things you didn't feel, wells digged you didn't dig, olive trees you didn't plant, and all these things? He, why do you think he emphasized these things over and over and over and over and over again? Because he knew that the more comfortable you got in the blessings of God, the less you seem to remember who the blesser was. Amen. Can I tell you, the joy of the Christian life is not the blessing. The joy of the Christian life is the blesser. And the blessing has so much more fulfillment when I know it can only be good because it's given from a good God. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. You say, Pastor, what about count your blessings? I'm all for counting your blessings. Why? Because your blessings ought to be a reminder of your blesser. And by the way, it is God which gives you power to get well. Deuteronomy 8. The problem with the Christian life, and by the way, I can trace it from Deuteronomy and all the way to the New Testament. They did the same thing with Jesus. He came and they were more enamored with the fish that he multiplied than the hands that multiplied. Come on, help me preach now. And the disciples were more enamored with the kingdom that he would build than the king that would build the kingdom. Come on. Instead of saying, Lord, we can't wait to sit with you, they were saying, who's going to be on the right hand, who on the left? Who's going to rule with you? Let me tell you something. The joy of the kingdom of God is not how much leadership I got, not how much authority I got. The fact that I'm related to the king, that I get to walk with him, I get to talk with him. And the joy of the Christian life is not the cars and the food and all the things that I enjoy. The joy of the Christian life is that communion with God, that intimacy with God. That's what worship is. It's beyond the piano and the lyrics and the songs and the instrumentation and the beat and the harmony and the melody. Listen to me. He is the song that I sing, but he's also the reason why I sing it. That's worship. And listen, you say, well, what did that have to do with idolatry? That idolatry wouldn't have a chance at penetrating your heart if you got a kick out of who God was. Directions. You know, the law-abiding citizen. Watch this. The law-abiding citizen never lives a day forgetting who his authority is. It's, you know, there are a lot of Christians here. They what's the point of rules? I'll tell you what the point of rules are. Rules help your mind remember you have a ruler. You understand me? Amen. You know, there's some things we do as parents, not because our children not doing them will cause great catastrophe or tragedy. No. There's some things we do as parents, just to remind our children they got parents. You understand? Well, what's wrong with it? Ain't nothing wrong with it. Why can't I go? And no reason. Well, why I got to turn the TV off? We're watching the Ten Commandments. Had nothing to do with what's on TV. Has something to do with the fact I want you to know you don't do what you want to do. Amen. And sometimes just go to bed. Why? Because I said go to bed. And get up. Why? Because I said get up. Why? Well, what's the big deal? If I stay up longer, I'm not going to die. If I get up later, I'm not going to die. No. But if you won't learn how to go to bed because I said go to bed, you might not learn how to hold my hand when I say don't cross that street. I wish somebody helped me preach. You've got to learn to obey God because he is God. You got to learn to obey God because he has the right to be God. You got to learn to obey God because he is your ruler. And if his commands don't make sense, it really doesn't matter. I didn't obey God because I agree with the command. I obey God because I acknowledge the commander. Amen. This is where we miss Christianity. That's why 5 years from now, some of you won't be serving. Because there are going to be one or two of these little pet peeves of God that don't jive with your Jiminy Cricket conscience. You're going to fall out with God because you don't like one of his rules. And you're going to, listen to me, you're going to buck the rule and you're going to lose out on the ruler. This is where Egypt had problems. By the way, isn't it amazing how cool we are with the ruler when he's handing out bonuses? I love my boss. Why? He just gave me a bonus. I hate my boss. Why? Because he just reprimanded me. Same boss. Amen. Do you realize that you can't work jobs with all bonuses and no reprimands? Somebody help me preach. No other gods. Directions in the land. Then we saw the draw from the lost. other gods. Go after. Would you write that down in your notes? Go after. Go after. Go after. I'd like to ask you a question. Why in the world would you chase a Volkswagen if you had a Cadillac and Bronx? Huh? You know why? Because you look at that Volkswagen and people inside of it look like they're having a better time than you have in your Cadillac. Go after it. Go after it. Why in the world would you go after Spam if you had filet mignon? You know why? Because the Spam eaters look like they're enjoying themselves. What they forgot to tell you was about the indigestion a few hours later. I wish somebody would help me preach. I'm simply saying, when you run after other gods, just remember, you don't only get their gods, but you get the byproduct of chasing their gods. Ye shall not go after other gods. Why did God say don't go after? Because he wanted God's people to know that even though you're in my land, there are other people that are there too. The Jews wanted to walk in Canaan with a cakewalk. This land is my land, this land is my land. You know what that meant? Nobody going to be there. What they didn't understand was not only was God going to give you the land, but God was going to order you to drive out the inhabitants that were in the land. You know what happened with the Israelites? Instead of driving them out, they joined up with them. And the same thing happened today. You know the problem with the average Christian? And here's what I want you to understand tonight. You will be forced to chase other things in the Christian life that pull you. Listen, watch this. You better get this tonight. You will be forced to chase after things that aren't good for you if you don't spend your time chasing out those things that aren't good for you. Watch this now. The stuff in your life that you should have run out of your life becomes the same stuff in your life you run after. Are you listening to me? Did you understand? When you're on fire for God, you're running it out of your life. Amen. When you're not enamored with God, you're running after it away from God. I can prove it to you. Listen to me. I know Christian people that are falling to things they used to preach against. Amen. They're marrying things they used to condemn. They're working for things they used to holler at people for even mentioning. Why? If you don't run it out, you'll end up chasing after. You should not go after other gods. And we saw very clearly last week the idols of the world, the ideology of the world, the individuals of the world. We saw materialism. We saw man. We saw music. I showed you three passages of scripture last week, particularly in Exodus chapter 32. When Moses came down, said, that ain't the sound of war, that's the sound of party. Them folks ain't scared of being chased, them folks getting down. We saw several cases last week where false worship, where idol worship is correlated with bad music. And I told you last week to go home and check out your music. Amen. I told all the musicians in the church and all the choir members in the church to tread lightly and soberly as to how you perform your music, portray your music. Amen. By the way, while I'm on it, there's a big difference between sensual and spiritual. Amen. Amen. That's right. That microphone is a device by which you are to be heard, not a lover you're singing to. By the way, we saw last week that idolatry is often not only coupled by ideology and individuals, it's also coupled with indecency, immorality, immodesty. And I showed you several passages of scripture where when people got to worshiping false God, coincidentally, their clothes start coming off too. And every church that I've preached at, whose music started getting worldly, their standards did too. Isn't it amazing? Nobody has to announce. We're all going to start dressing like the world. Somehow when you start singing like the world, your body tells you, get your gear with it too. God, help us. Do you understand? It's all about the holiness of God. It's all about the holiness of God. So the draw from the lost. Tonight, I'd like to give you some principles lastly as we'll close on this subject. Not only the direction in the land, the draw from the lost, but thirdly, the declaration about the Lord. The declaration about, ye shall not go after other gods. Why? 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 I'm going to answer. Verse 15. For the Lord thy God. And here's the next word. Is. Somebody say amen right there. Pastor, I don't know what you're going to say. Trust me, it's good. Why in the world do I not need to go after other gods? I'll tell you why. You don't have to go after other gods because the Lord is. Amen. It's always been the foundation for proper worship. It's always been the motivation for consistency and loyalty and continuity and commitment and dedication and devotion and discipline and longevity for the child of God. It's always been the security and the insurance from ever leaving the will of God. As long as I know that God is, there's never a need for a substitute, for a replacement, for an enhancement, for an improvisation, for an improvement. There's never an absence. There's never a need for a detour. I never need to go on a search for a God. There are a lot of things in your life you'll have to replace, but thank God Jehovah's not one of them. For the Lord. Capital L. Capital O. Capital R. Capital D. It's for the term. It's used for the term Jehovah. The scripture. Hey. Here's the declaration about the Lord. He's supreme. Watch this. Thou shalt not make other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. And then here's his response. For the Lord. Thank God for the definite article. Here's what he's saying. You don't have to chase other gods because you serve the one true God. Amen. You know, we ought to thank God tonight that we serve the real God. I'm talking about the real thing. Not an imitation, not a perpetration, amen, not in contemplation. Thank God we serve the one true God. And we're in the small minority of the world. There are a lot of people that think they know God. They talk about God. They mention God. They gallop around God. But those of us who are here tonight, we're not just talking about a God we've heard about, a God we've read about, a God we think we know about. We're talking about the very God that redeemed us from the slave market of sin, that set us free, that delivered us from bondage. We're talking about a God whose blood has washed away our sins. He has adopted us. He has sanctified us. He has separated us. He has called us. He has indwelled us. We're talking about a God who wakes us up every morning, who allows us to serve him and to love him. We're talking about a God who supplies our every need, our burden bearer, our heavy load sharer, our comfort when we're lonely, bread when we're hungry, water when we're thirsty, bridge over troubled waters. You and I must understand tonight that there's no need for idolatry. Why? We serve the Lord. Amen. The Lord. Supreme. Here's what I like about it. He's not only supreme, he's special. Notice, he's the Lord. Had nothing to do with you. His lordship is not contended by you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God didn't have to get voted in? Amen. The Lord. But watch this now. He says, the Lord. Then he says, thy God. He's not only supreme, he's special. Why is he special? Because he's mine. He's mine. You know why you don't need idols? Because you've got something already. He's mine. He's mine. I'll tell you the child of God who's not running after foolishness. The one who has God as a personal possession. Did you hear the song the choir said? I will not be moved. That's what they said. I will not be moved. And I will say, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer. strong tower. You hear that? Mine. Mine. This God is my God. The next time the world looks alluring to you, remember who your God is. The next time somebody else looks like they're having a good time, remember who your God is. The next time the world seems like they're outdoing you, remember who your God is. The next time the things on Hollywood seem like they're having a good time, remember who your God is. Your God is the one who made the stars. Your God is the one who made the seas. Your God is the one who pasted the earth with daffodils and planted mountains and put down valleys. Your God is the God who established the firmament and separated the day from the night. Your God is the God who put the fish in the sea and the plants of the grass. Your God is the God who made all the animals. Your God is the God who from the dust of the ground formed man and breathed in the man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When the Christian life gets boring, when the Christian life gets lame, when the Christian life gets bland, when the Christian life gets dull, when the fundamentals of the faith and the standards of holiness become too stringent and too strict and too far out for you, remind your faculties of intellect, I serve the one true God, and he's mine. The Lord thy God. Remember that. What are you chasing stuff for? Why are you chasing other people's stuff when you got your own? The Lord thy God. He's supreme God. He's a special God. Write this down. He's a sensitive God. The Lord thy God. Watch this down. Now, when you and I often see jealousy in the Bible, it's a sin. You know what makes jealousy wrong? Jealousy is what I long for things that other people have that don't belong to me. That's wrong. You know why God's not wrong for being jealous? He's not asking for anything that's not his. I wish somebody helped me preach. God, you know, God's allowed to be jealous of glory because all glory belongs to him. God's allowed to be jealous of honor because all honor belongs to him. God's allowed to be jealous of dominion because all dominion belongs to him. God's allowed to be jealous of might because all might belongs to him. God's allowed to be jealous of strength because all strength belongs to him. That's why God says, I'm a jealous God. Somebody tonight, in the middle of worshiping that job, in the middle of worshiping that phone, in the middle of worshiping that car, in the middle of worshiping that relationship, in the middle of worshiping that music, in the middle of worshiping all of those things in life that have taken the place of God, when the next time you bow down to something, let something in your mind click something that says, the God I serve, he's jealous of that. How many of us have left our first love? God's jealous that you used to talk to him more. You used to depend on him more. But somebody rolled past you, yelling loud and laughing. You dropped God and went chasing. Watch this now. I hate to bust your bubble with such deep preaching tonight. But you cannot be on your knees worshiping God at the same time while you're chasing other God. You got to pick a spot. Do you understand me? You got to pick a spot. There's a song, I don't remember the exact title of it. I may be improvising on the name. But it's a song that says, I'd just like to be Mary for a while. And it's about the story of Mary and Martha. And Martha cumbered about with the household duties, the plates and the forks and the cups and the napkins, while Mary's sitting at his feet. The songwriter said, I'd just like to be Mary for a while. You know, maybe tonight you need to go back to the place where you just sat at his feet. I often wonder how it is that some Christians are always talking about what they saw God do this week. And some Christians I never talk about that. Wait a minute. I'm not talking about one of them go to church and one of them don't go to church. I'm not talking about one of them been saved a long time, the other one just got saved. I'm talking about Christians in the same church. Both of them faithful. Both of them sing in the choir. Both of them come regularly. Both of them tithe. How did that one miss everything God did? And that other one can't stop talking about what he did. I'll tell you how. You miss him when you're too busy running around worrying about other stuff instead of sitting at his feet. Martha, watch this now. Laboring for God had become Martha's God instead of God actually himself. Do you know what's possible? Watch this now. Do you know what's possible to love the choir, to love working in the bus ministry? Watch this now. I'm talking to all you children's workers. It is possible to absolutely adore teaching children at Crossroads Baptist Church and not absolutely adore Jesus. You're falling in love with the activity of such. Help me. You've gotten so used to it. It's like your job. Getting the curriculum together, buying the snacks, talking to the kids, missing another sermon. I mean, it just becomes. You say, how do you know that's possible? Because then, even when it's not your turn, you're looking for an excuse to be down there. Why? Because you're falling in love with the basement. Instead of God. It's possible to just, it's possible to love singing without loving your Savior. I just love the choir. Why? I just like the people in it. I like the song. I love music. Do you really think you're spiritual because you love music? The devil loves music. It's not the activity. It's the God that demands the activity. He's got to be the root. You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. I lift my hands in total praise to you. He says me. He's sovereign. He is strong. The anger of the Lord. He is sentencing. He will destroy thee from off the face of the earth. He is supplying. Thou save, chapter 8, 17. My power, my might, my of mine have gotten me this wealth. He that give thee power to get wealth. 18. Wow. Look at 18. Look at chapter 8, verse 20. And we'll close. He's a settling God. A settling God. Here's, watch this now. Here's what the heathen don't tell you. Come worship with us. Well, that's not the part they don't tell you. I'm getting to that. They tell you this part. Come worship with us. You ought to try our gods. Watch this. Be careful, Crossroads Baptist Church member, where you feel compelled and obliged to visit church with somebody because they visited with you. The difference is the one they visited is actually a good one. You understand what I'm saying? You just because they came don't mean you came. You understand? Well, I feel I need to go. They always come here, but they coming to something good. You going to something sorry. That's not a good exchange. They came to mine's, I'm going to theirs. But they came and got blessed. You went and sinned. You understand? Here's what the heathen don't tell you. When you join in and worship with them, you not only get what looks to be entertaining and fun as a part of their worship, but you're there when God destroys it. Look at 20. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, those people you watched go down for not serving God. Here's he saying, so shall ye perish. Here's the sad thing about Christian people who left the feet of God to worship other gods. Some of them, by the grace of God and his welcome man of repentance, some of them make it back. But many of them, they die in idolatry. You can't lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. But most Christians do not end their Christian life at the apex of their relationship with God. Most of them have fizzled by then. Most people do not die in their heyday. I'm not talking about physical strength. When you used to walk 7 flights of stairs and soul win. Good gracious alive. You can't do that when Arthur is your best friend. But you ought to be praying more than you ever prayed. You ought to be loving Jesus more than you ever loved Jesus. Amen. Some of you here today to talk about the goodness of God in your Christian life, you got to remember. Back in the day, I mean, you come here giving tutorials to new church members. Let me tell you about the bus ministry. Back in the day. Nobody want to hear about the day? What are you doing for God now? I'm telling you, let me give you some tips. When I used to work in the children's class, what I found was effective with the children. They don't even sell that book no more. It's out of print. This book is real good for the kids. They don't even have the book. The book out of print. You coming with these little old tips. Stay on top of your game. Go to the refresher classes. Amen. I'm saying stay in the game, Christian. Stay in the game. Let every day be the best day of your Christian life. Wake up on Thursday and let Thursday be better than Wednesday. And Friday better than Thursday. And Saturday better than Friday. And Sunday, another week to do it all over again. Church wasn't that good today. Whose fault? God was here. He's good. What's wrong with you? It's as good as we let him be to us. He's a settling God. That's the sad ending. Idolatry. Can you imagine God in the same chapter talking about all these wells he digged for him? And I said digged because that's the language of scripture. I don't want to mess up the kingdom. You say, well, Pastor said digged. It's in the Bible. The Bible said digged. Diggest. For all you grammarians, all the wells that God dug for you. See, now I've sacrificed the King James dialogue. All these trees that God planted, all this land that God purchased, he's talking all this stuff about. I gave you power to get wealth. And after all of that wonderful children, father talk, he ends the chapter and says, I'll destroy you off the face of the earth. What would make the same God that redeems you and delivered you to a land of prosperity annihilate you? I'll tell you. I don't. There's nothing that irks God more than you bowing down to somebody or something else besides him. We have to do inventory and go, what am I bowing to? I may not be praying with my hands up in the air for my allegiance, my sacrifice, my time, my commitment, my love, my affection, my investment. There's more in those things and in those people. Do you remember when you fell in love with your spouse? How much time you want to spend? How excited you were every time you saw him. Some of you scratching your head. You can't even remember. Honey, were we ever like that? Yes, baby. Okay, my wife said we was. Yeah, it's the same way it's gotten with God. Now it's like, we got to get together again. It's the way some people enter church. Another song. I've asked the choir to sing again and saw occasionally a church member to. You understand? I'd hate to be the cause of indigestion in your spiritual digestive system because we just decided to talk one more time about your Jesus. I don't know. Maybe behind me it was a few choir members going, ah. By the way, every one of you choir members sing a special. Do you grunt when your name's on the list? You should thank the choir director. He's giving you a chance to brag on your stage in front of some people that need to know that somebody else besides the people that are dead that wrote the Bible actually love him. Pastor Mike, I got to sing. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for letting me brag on Jesus. I don't feel good, but good gracious alive. If anybody deserves to be sung to when I don't feel good, it's my Redeemer. Just ask yourself how much physical calamity you travail your way through to get to your favorite store, to your favorite restaurant, or see your favorite person. And suck it up to sing about your Savior. Why? Because the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And he alone is worthy to be praised. Our Father.